Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Our focus is on verses 67 through 79, but in order to get context, we're going to start a few verses before that with verse 57. Hear the word of the Lord. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There's no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." The word of the Lord. Well, as we have seen throughout the course of our series, there is something powerful and compelling about song. And at no time of year is this more true than Christmas. Last week, we took a look at the song of Christmas at the earlier in Luke's gospel, Mary's Magnificat. And we saw that we can join Mary's song when we recognize and embrace our role in God's Advent today. This week, we're looking into the Benedictus, Zechariah's song of prophecy at the end of Luke 1. And tomorrow night on Christmas Eve at the 7 p.m. service, we'll join in the angel's song of praise, the Gloria. The song we looked at last week, the Magnificat, is an incredible song of praise for the work that God had done in Mary and was going to do through her. Today's song, though, isn't about Zechariah, but rather is a prophecy of the role that his son was going to have. It is full of Old Testament imagery and speaks not only to John the Baptist's calling, but also profoundly to our calling as Christians. As we look into this beautiful song, we will see that we can answer Zechariah's call to be waypointers by living the redemption won by the horn of salvation. This morning's song, as said, Zechariah's Benedictus is named after the first word of the passage in Latin, just like the Magnificat. The backstory behind this song is as amazing as it is unbelievable and can be found in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. Zechariah is one of the priests serving in the temple, and it's his turn to go behind the veil and burn incense as part of their worship. And while back there, an angel appears to him and says that in answer to their prayers, he and his barren wife Elizabeth will be having a baby. This child will have the spirit and power of Elijah and will prepare the way for the Lord's Messiah. Not surprisingly, the elderly Zechariah struggles to believe this message from the angel. As a result, the angel seals his mouth until his words are proven true with the birth of John. In verses 63 and 64, Luke writes that as soon as the boy was born, and Zechariah wrote down that the baby's name would be John, immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. As the people wondered just who this child was going to be, Zechariah is filled with the Holy Spirit and responds with this song, now known as the Benedictus. And it is an incredible song, which breaks into two parts. The first part is full of praise, and the second part is a prophecy about the role John will play in preparing the people for his coming, for his cousin's ministry. And as much as Mary's song sprang from the depth of her faith in God, Zechariah's does the same and is further bolstered by his training and equipping as a priest. The song is rich with imagery from the Old Testament. Zechariah opens by singing, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us." Zechariah, being as familiar with the words of the prophets as any priest would have been, recognizes the coming of the Messiah as the fulfillment of their words uttered so long ago. But he uses a strange phrase, the horn of salvation. This metaphor of God raising up a horn of salvation is a crucial one for us to understand. Throughout the Old Testament, horns are emblems of power, dominion, glory, and fierceness, as they're the chief means of attack and defense with the animals endowed with them. Take, for example, the incredible cracking sounds heard during rutting season as bull moose battle each other with their antlers, or as rams go quite literally head to head. The sound of their clashes can be heard from miles away. So Zechariah takes this powerful image and applies it to Christ, implying that this Messiah will bring a salvation of strength. He will be a strong Savior, which he's going to need to be. He needs to be strong in order to accomplish all that is laid before him. A wimpy Savior can't save you from your enemies or those who hate you. Only a strong Savior can. And frankly, I think we forget about this aspect of Christ. We like the tender Jesus, meek and mild, with the little kids on his lap and the sheep on his shoulders. But we forget about the powerful Jesus, clearing the temple and standing up against the Pharisees. Whatever the enemy is that you're facing, Jesus Christ is powerful enough to save you. He truly is the horn of your salvation. Zechariah continues to sing, "God has raised up this horn of salvation to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days." God is not just being faithful to the words of the prophets, but he's also being faithful to the words that he spoke to Abraham. Mary also said that the coming of the Messiah was fulfillment of that most earliest of all covenants. And why was the Messiah coming? To show mercy and remember, to rescue and enable. Mercy, Zechariah sings, is being shown to our fathers. Not our literal fathers, although also them, but our ancestral fathers, our really ancestral fathers, as in all the way back to Abraham, Noah, and Adam. For it is the failure of Adam that runs in our veins and has kept us from the relationship with God for which we were created. And it was the promises to Abraham, as we said, that God remembered and are being fulfilled with the births of both John and Jesus. And this salvation is not just an expression of God's mercy on our broken, sinful lives, but also rescues us from the hand of our enemies. Which enemies? The coworker who stole your promotion? The bully at school who quite never leaves you alone? The spouse that won't stop abusing you? Well, quite possibly, yeah. But as Paul reminds us in Ephesians, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The real enemy is spiritual in nature and will do everything he can to keep us from a relationship with God, from the more and better life that we've ever dreamed of that God desires for us. But when we've been rescued from this enemy, God then enables us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness. Brothers and sisters, this point can't be emphasized enough. So often we stop at the rescued part, at the salvation part. Essentially, we live our lives however we want and trust, reasonably rightly, that God will forgive whatever we do and rescue us when we get in over our heads. Otherwise, it doesn't really matter what we do. But that's not the deal. God has rescued and saved you in order to enable you to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness. And serving in holiness and righteousness does not mean doing whatever we want and then asking God to forgive us. Not at all. It means that we, as Paul writes in Romans 6, have died to sin and cannot live in it any longer. This is a redemption meant to be lived. We need to strive to abandon our brokenness and live in holiness and righteousness. Will we mess up and fail? Absolutely. And how great is our God to forgive us for that. But now that we can choose not to sin, why wouldn't we? After these verses praising God for the redemption he will bring through the horn of salvation, the Messiah, Zechariah then begins to speak to the calling that God has placed on his son, John. He sings, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." John's role is to be the way pointer. He's called to go before the Messiah and prepare the way for him. Now, the way he's preparing isn't a road. He's not going ahead of the Messiah and making sure there aren't any traffic jams ahead of him. Although, seriously, don't you kind of wish somebody would do that for you? No, the way that he's preparing is people's hearts. He's to give the people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. This proves for us that earlier, when Zechariah talked about salvation and rescue from enemies, he was talking about spiritual salvation and rescue. And all of this is done because of the tender mercy of God. Last week, we talked about the mindfulness of God that Mary sang about, and how sometimes it doesn't feel very good to have God be so divinely attentive to us. But we have to put it together with this passage. God's divine attentiveness to us is an expression of his tender mercy. And it is through his tender mercy that the rising sun has come to us from heaven. Yet, once again, another image of Jesus Christ. The Messiah is pictured as having a saving light that shows the way. Remember Isaiah's prophecy? The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Zechariah is plainly saying that Isaiah's prophecy is coming true with Jesus Christ. And again, as with our salvation and rescue, the rising sun is coming to guide our feet into the path of peace. Not to give us a flashlight so we can poke around in the darkness longer, but to guide our feet out of the darkness and into hope. But this prophecy of Zacharias isn't just for his son, John the Baptist. It's for each and every one of us today. The song Zechariah sings for John is sung for each one of us in this room as well. Our calling as Christians is to take up the mantle of John the Baptist and to become waypointers ourselves. The salvation and mercy you have received isn't meant for you alone. You are called and invited to go before the Lord, to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun has come to them from heaven. Brothers and sisters, may God bless each one of us this Advent as we seek to faithfully answer Zechariah's call to be waypointers by living the redemption won by the horn of salvation. Amen.